Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Judges and journalists don't always enjoy the smoothest of relationships, but that wasn't the case when Christchurch Press reporter Rebecca Todd called the Chief Coroner, Judge Neil McLean, about a series of stories she was writing on shedding light on suicide. The upshot has been a new conversation about the reporting of suicide, one which will almost certainly result in a change to the rules. We're joined now by the Chief Coroner. Judge McLean, welcome. Now, what was it about what Rebecca Todd said that got your attention?
Well, mainly it was just the timing. It was perfect because a whole lot of strands of things were coming together around this whole area of reporting, in particular a meeting that had been scheduled some months earlier with the Freedom and Media Committee, which represents all the main media outlets, who wanted to debate the restrictions with me.
And it's something that you've had in your mind for some time, that this needs a look at and the rules possibly need changing.
Absolutely, yes.
What are the rules at the moment? And they're not enforceable in any way, are they? There's no legal sanction, is that right?
Oh, yes, there is.
There is
the Section 71 of the Coroner's Act, which is the law, and that has two strands to it, which I can explain if you like.
Yes, please.
Well, the first strand is that someone dies, the media are involved, and it will eventually go to a coroner. Maybe weeks, months, sometimes even years down the track. And the first restriction in 71 says that nobody shall say anything about it, that it was suicide or the circumstances of the death, without the express permission of the coroner. That's before the coroner's done their thing, that has had their made their findings. And then the second leg is the new bit that came in with the new Act in 07, which was that whereas in the past there'd been a discretion absolute for a coroner as to what, if anything, would be publicly available to be broadcast, the new Act brought in an extra threshold which said that a coroner shall not allow that unless satisfied that it would cause no harm to the public.
And the odd thing I realised as soon as I started looking at this is that the general practice out there even now doesn't match what the 2006 Act actually says, does it?
Because correct.
Yeah, what the Act says is that you can only give name, address and occupation of someone who's found to have committed suicide. Yes. But more than that happens now, doesn't it?
Yes. I, some months ago, issued a what I thought was a relatively gentle reminder to all media that, look, be aware of what the law is. And I'm concerned that one or two media outlets were sort of pushing the thing a bit.
Do you think, I mean, this is the discussion, the reason, one of the reasons this is in the media as well, is that people are saying we do need to talk more about this because obviously the practice at the moment isn't working. We've got the highest youth suicide rate in the OECD, 12 times higher than Greece.
Well, yeah, there's two things there. First of all, one has to be cautious about comparing countries. The reality is in New Zealand, we are very honest and transparent. If it's suicide, we'll call it suicide. Many countries fudge it.
We're still higher than Australia, England.
Yeah, we're comparable. You know, there's not a great difference between, once you even out the differences and allow for some underreporting in some countries, we're not wildly out of kilter, so to speak.
But the comparison that I've heard made more than once recently is our suicide toll is higher than the road toll.
Yes.
And we spend a lot of money trying to get the road toll down, don't we?
That's right, yes. And, of course, that's where Rebecca came in, because she very astutely picked up a story from South Australia from the state coroner there, who's my counterpart, saying, you know, look, we Australians have to face up to a stark reality here. The suicide toll is higher than the road toll. The road toll's coming down, but the suicide rates, while it's been coming down, is the gap is widening. She picked that up, rang me and said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, you know, I sympathise with that view. And from there, the dialogue started.
The reason the rule exists in the first place is because copycats, essentially, isn't it? There is a lot of research to show that there are, in scientific terms, a cluster of events.
Yes.
That's the main reason for the rule?
Probably, although it probably goes back much further than that, because there's always been a stigma about suicide. In fact, as recently as last century, in the Western world, it was a crime, believe it or not, to commit suicide. And the century before that, if you were found to have committed suicide, you weren't allowed to be buried in consecrated ground. You had to be buried with a stake through your heart. So it was regarded as a sin. And while it's not a crime now, there's still that sort of historical perception that there's something to be ashamed about with suicide. So people have been notoriously coy. And I think if you talk to anyone, you know, over a beer or a coffee, it starts to come out, well, yes, Uncle so-and-so, actually, he did commit suicide. We never really talked about it, you know. There was something wrong, but we never knew. So there's an element of that. And then there is this belief in some circles that if you put out information, any sort of information about suicide, that will lead to copycat suicides. Now, that's a point of view. It's not actually a point of view that many, particularly in the mainstream media, actually adhere to. They don't accept it's necessarily so.
And you had your meeting with the Media Freedom Committee this past week.
Yes.
Do they accept the idea that there's still a responsibility incumbent on them, even if the law has changed to allow them to do more? Mm. Do they accept the idea that there's still a fairly... There's an onerous responsibility on them to get it right.
Oh, yes, that was a very strong, clear message coming through across the board. TV, radio, magazines, newspapers. Look, we are conscious of our public responsibility. We would not deliberately go putting out detail that's a particularly offensive or an intrusion into privacy, but we have a role as the Fourth Estate to tell the truth to the public, and we think we should be able to tell more.
There's evidence, obviously, that talking, that giving details as to how someone committed suicide leads to copycats, clustered events. What about talking about it and trying to deal with it as an issue as to why our rates are so high? And
I think that's the issue. I think that's a different issue altogether. We can't just keep, I believe, sort of saying, look, let's not talk about that. It's just too unpleasant. It's too embarrassing. You know, I think we've got to talk about it. It's like a lot of previously taboo topics like domestic violence, like, incest, all those sorts of things that traditionally, 50 years ago, you know, one didn't talk about those sorts of things.
Do you think it's the rule that you can't report on it that's led to us continuing to not talk about the issue?
I think it's not been helpful. Mm. And certainly, I mean, I am aware that responsible media feel frustrated about this, and they think it's wrong.
We might need a list of that responsible media, because I'd like to know who they are. Yes. There was a case recently, and it was an attempted suicide, which I presume doesn't fall within the rule.
No, there's got to be a death for the coroner to be involved.
But yeah. With all due respect, we won't talk about the details. But because of the rules and the media saying, well, we're not going to report on this, the facts of the attempt were reported, but there was no mention of the fact that it was an attempted suicide.
Mm.
As a result, there were comedians making jokes about the event, because it was quite a notable event. You may know what I'm talking about. Mm. There were jokes being made about it because people thought it was an accident rather than a suicide attempt. That's quite an unintended consequence, isn't it?
Mm. And there's a very artificial distinction between if a death occurred, then the law clamp comes down. If it didn't, then there is, aside from privacy and other issues, and decency issues, there's no constraint.
The media still obviously probably doesn't report often on attempts, though, probably for those reasons, though.
I don't know. You'd have to ask the media.
Anyway, Judge, you've actually now got support for this from the very top. The Prime Minister has said he would like to see more light shed on the issue and reporting opened up somewhat. What happens now?
Well, the dialogue continues, I think. Coroners are sitting listening to all this. It's World Suicide Prevention Day next week, and people like Spins and other entities will be there, as will a couple of the Auckland coroners, and listening to the debate going on. But you're right. I mean, the feedback I've had has been pretty well wholeheartedly supportive. And Rebecca said the same thing last night on television.
Shedding light's one thing we can do. What else do you think? What do you think our root causes of whether we agree that New Zealand's rates are artificially inflated or higher than the others? What are the causes of our suicide, do you think?
You know, I'm not qualified to answer that. Philosophers have debated that for thousands of years. What is it that tips one person over from saying the game's not worth the candle, I'll end it all, to gritting your teeth, biting your bottom lip, you know, and pushing on through?
Well, hopefully it's a discussion we'll be hearing a lot more about.
Indeed, yeah, I think it's been a really valuable conversation already, so thank you for your part in it.
Pleasure.
Chief Coroner Judge Neil McLean there. After the break, watching your prostate and bright young things from Devonport.